Where did it all begin? I mean, I know where it's going to end. But the start. The body in the tunnel. Or was it the package? No. I think we have to go back. Back to Sherlock bloody Holmes.
After taking a pee against a plinth, a scruffy-looking man looks up at a bronze statue of Sherlock Holmes holding his pipe. The statue stands on the edge of a busy roundabout. Starring Alec Newman. Nina Sozagna, Alistair McKenzie, John Sessions, Laura Fraser. With Richard Wilson. Reichenbach Falls, written by James Maver. Based on an original idea by Ian Rankin. Illustrations from Sherlock Holmes books, then a man plunging into a waterfall. Directed by John Mackay.
Alpha Kilo Bravo at 3 miles.
In 1893, Arthur Conan Doyle attempted to kill off Sherlock Holmes at the Reichenbach Falls. There was a massive public outcry. Readers wore black armbands.
Keep it 1 and 2, this is Edinburgh Zoo. Subject is approaching, but do not engage. Repeat, observe, but do not engage.
The scruffy man and a busker are keeping an eye on a Sherlock Holmes tour.
Guys, repeat, do not engage. Subject may be armed. Backup is on its way.
Alpha Kilo Bravo at 2 miles.
The busker's wearing an earpiece.
Jerry and me, we were after this guy, Murray. There was a deal going down and I'd spent 3 months in deep cover, maybe too deep. Murray was a bastard, big time. Drugs, sex, money, violence. I called him the monkey. Not sure why, but it just stuck. I'd had the monkey on my back for 15 years. He was so close I could smell him.
Steady, keeper 2. Just observe the transfer.
Sometimes you do things right, and sometimes, well, increasingly I find these days, sometimes you just think, fuck it.
Morgan, do not engage. That's an order.
Move it!
The scruffy guy, an undercover cop, chases Murray into an alley and starts laying into him.
Not this time.
Rocket, take him down, Jerry! Take him down!
Murray shoots the busker.
Rocket, please help me. Help, Rocket.
You move, Buchan.
Help me.
Desperate to help his short colleague, the scruffy man Buchan cuts a band off of Murray's wrist. Murray pulls him back.
You and everyone you care about, dead.
When Murray lets go of him, Buchan hurries over to the undercover busker, Jerry.
Keeper 2, can you read me?
Jerry, hold on.
Murray legs it.
I didn't make it to the funeral.
An aerial view of a hill overlooking the city of Edinburgh. The cop, Buchan, sits staring pensively into space. Moving down towards the hill, where a classical building is surrounded by a wall with benches around it. Buchan sitting on one. He's wearing a black suit and tie and swigging from a bottle of booze in a poly bag. Before him, a Gothic spire and pillars are silhouetted against the hazy sunshine. An elderly gent with a grey moustache, wearing a raincoat and tweed hat and swinging an umbrella, comes over and interrupts Buchan's thoughts.
May I? Help yourself.
The man sits down.
A fine view, is it not? This is your home.
Yeah.
Mine too.
I guess that was where it all started. A chance encounter on a park bench on Calton Hill. Not that chance had anything to do with it, of course.
Excuse an old fool. I was born here, but I haven't been back in a long time.
And those tears. I don't know what the old boy saw down there. He was certainly looking at a different city from the one I lived in. There was the city the tourists came to look at. The Athens of the North. The world's first city of literature. The festival, the castle, the history. And then there was all this shite.
The wife of a prominent Edinburgh solicitor was found today in the boot of her car.
And usually, more often than not, if you dug down deep enough, you'd find Robert Thompson Murray, also known as Murray the Mint, also known as Psycho Bob or Bobby the Raj, also known as the Monkey. A series of murders. Robert Louis Stevenson had it bang on. Any way you looked at it, the city had a split personality. Core and periphery. Rich and poor. Day and night. Jekyll and Hyde.
The old man's gone but left his umbrella.
D.I. Buchan?
Buchan sees the woman waving at him.
Before I knew it, they'd given me a new partner. Detective Sergeant Burns.
Sinead? How you doing?
Don't know. You ever taken acid?
Not since I made sergeant.
She wasn't Jerry.
Our new car.
She was better looking for a start. I wondered if she played the guitar.
I'm driving.
Now they're caught in heavy traffic.
Sinead told me the chief had decided I should take some time off. I didn't know quite how to take it, but I'd heard this lassie was good. I wondered how good. And a holiday would be good. Everything was good.
As he sparks up a fag, she opens the window.
In the end, I just took the time and spent it in the flat.
A painting of a waterfall hangs above a mantelpiece covered in empty beer bottles. The dim light from a couple of spotlights and lamps shines on a bookcase. There's stuff lying everywhere. A bowl of half-eaten food, an empty bottle of malt, a knife, a half-drunk beer, and a dirty ashtray. Buchan's crashed out on the sofa with a record still playing on a turntable. He's in his 30s with fair hair and a careworn face. Downstairs, someone enters the tenement block. Buchan's still asleep in his messy living room. The person comes up the shadowy staircase and rings Buchan's doorbell. Looking completely wrecked, Buchan sits up and looks around the room.
Oh,
the person at the door looks through the letterbox. Buchan eyes it suspiciously until he sees some letters being pushed through. Then he opens the door to the postman.
Morning, Jim.
Walter, how's it going?
You had a rough night?
Nothing spectacular.
There you go, mate.
Cheers.
Walter hands him a box. Buchan puts on another record. Then, with a fag hanging from his mouth, he carries the box through the flat.
Shit.
In the kitchen, he moves aside an old fish and chip wrapper, then puts the box down on the worktop. He gets a knife to help him open it, but ends up cutting himself.
Shite!
He tries ripping it apart with his bare hands. Eventually, he manages to get it open and finds a hardback book inside. Written down the spine is the author's name, Jack Harvey, and the back page is taken up with a photo of the handsome, dark-haired writer. Carrying the book into the living room, Buchan stares at it, his unlit fag still hanging from his mouth. The book's entitled St. Bernard's Well and has a dedication for Clara. Buchan reads it with a frown, then turns to look at a photo of a smiling woman on the wall. Pulling back to reveal the photo is surrounded by hundreds of others, all of the same pretty dark-haired woman. As Buchan loses himself in the mural, his blue eyes fill with tears and his cigarette trembles in his mouth. As a tear trickles down his cheek, he comes back to the present and chucks the book at the record player. An aerial view of Edinburgh's neoclassical and older architecture, with traffic flowing along the city streets. Clouds drift towards a building with a dome. A display for Jack Harvey's novel is being set up in a bookshop window. Standing across the street, Buchan takes a drag of his fag as he watches the woman from his photos setting out the books. Moments later, she's behind the counter and sees Buchan coming towards her.
I was looking for a little bedtime reading. Something facile, you know? Not too demanding.
She marches off.
Clara.
Clara!
She quickens her pace through the shop, but he manages to keep up with her. When she fails to stop him entering the staff room, she slaps him across the face.
Don't do that!
Okay.
What do you want? You've got 30 seconds.
You and Jack still living together?
Mind your own business.
What happened?
I really don't see that that's any of your concern.
Go on, give us a clue. He beats you, he's got a titchy wee knob. He took back his credit card. I see he's got a new book coming out.
That's right.
Funny title though, eh? St. Bernard's Well. How do you think he thought of that?
I don't know.
Come on.
It was a surprise to me too.
Don't believe you.
Well, that's your prerogative. I'd like to go now.
When he bars her way, their faces become intimately close and their fingers touch.
Somebody sent me a copy.
Look here. It's not in the shop still Friday.
I'll let you borrow it if you want. Give me your address. I'll bring it round.
I've read it.
Any good?
Open the door! Open this door or I'm calling the police!
I'm the police.
Clara opens the door.
Sorry, it's Sandy. He's just leaving.
Buchan walks out past the security guard, while Clara remains for a moment thinking. As the security guard escorts him off the premises, Buchan's phone rings.
Buchan, who do you want?
And a very good morning to you too. I've got a body I think you might want to come and have a look at.
Soon after, Buchan and Sinead pass through an archway into a large quadrangle. Sinead's in her early 30s, with a pretty face and short afro twists in her hair. Buchan looks rough.
It's funny how these things pan out. The chain of circumstances that leads to someone picking up the phone and dialing 999.
They're about to enter a no-smoking building, but he's smoking.
Arrest me.
He ditches his fag.
there'd been a change in the fire regulations. In order to comply, the university was having to upgrade the sprinkler system in Old College. Problem was, they had to find somewhere to put a 2,000-litre water tank in a historic Scotland A-listed Georgian building. Then someone had the bright idea of digging down into one of the tunnels. One of the contractors found the body.
It's not a body as such.
No?
More like a skeleton.
They're moving through the basement of Old College.
Not fresh meat, then?
We still have to check it out. We're meeting a professor from the pathology department.
They pass through a boiler room into a storeroom that has skeletons on stands and boxes lining the walls. Sinead stops to get her bearings.
It's this way.
She leads him off, passing two classical busts on a table.
Sinead says she was still getting used to Edinburgh. All the layers of history piled one on top of the other. To me, it felt like sometimes you couldn't move in this city without this weight of history pressing down on you. To Sinead, it was great. It was rich, it was complex, and it was exciting. Maybe I felt like that when I was young. I couldn't remember.
And exciting. Do you feel that?
No, that's not true. I never felt like that in my life.
We're looking for the tunnel, mate.
Oh, shoot, it's this way.
The workman points them back the way they came.
Ah, there you are. I wasn't expecting to.
We tend to come in pairs.
D.I. Buchan, Detective Sergeant Burns.
Ah, so you're Buchan, local man, born to the west of the city, one of the peripheral estates, Wester Hills, maybe.
They didn't tell us you did party tricks.
Mm-hmm. Smoker of untipped cigarettes, a whiskey drinker. One of the island malts, perhaps. Low self-esteem, a man without romantic attachments or ambitions.
Let's just get on with it, eh?
Well, follow me, down the rabbit hole.
Wearing a head torch, the professor climbs down through a hole.
Come on, Mr. Buchan. Now, the old town is riddled with tunnels like this, Miss Burns. You'll be familiar with Mary King's Close.
I've not had much time for sightseeing.
An entire street, 12th century or so, the old, old town, directly beneath the city chambers. Haunted, so they say, by ghosts of the victims of the plague, buried alive to prevent the spread of the disease. They do tours. I thoroughly recommend it.
Aye, aye.
You don't believe in ghosts, Mr. Buchan?
I'm sure a few spooks is good for business.
You're a cynic, Mr. Buchan.
Just a suspicious bastard.
Yes. This particular tunnel is one of the city's more famous, or should I say, infamous subterranean passages. They used to call it the Anatomy Tunnel. Does that mean anything to you, Mr. Buchan?
The body snatchers.
William Buchan, William here. Also known as the Body Snatchers, also known as the Resurrectionists. 200 years ago, Old College was home to the finest medical faculty in the world. The senior anatomist was Dr. Robert Knox, and he had one major problem. A shortage of fresh meat for his students to practice on. You could say that Buchan here were simply responding to market forces. They preyed on the poor and the helpless. A prostitute. Some old dosser. They'd get them pissed, take them home and smother them. That way there wasn't any damage to the precious corpse. Then they'd deliver the body to Dr. Knox, and he'd pay them off, no questions asked. Eventually they were caught. Hare cut a deal, and he got off while his partner was strung up outside St. Giles Cathedral. After he was hanged, William Buchan was taken back along the tunnel so that he could make his final contribution to medical science.
The head torch beam penetrates the pitch black. The professor leads them over to a mound of earth that has skeletal remains protruding from it. He switches on a lamp to help them see.
Male, I'd say. Quite tall and young. Perhaps in his 20s.
How can you tell?
Oh, his teeth. Still has them.
Any idea how long he's been there?
Oh, 100 years. Maybe two.
The cloth should help us date it. I'll get onto forensics.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I'll ask them nicely.
The torch beam lights up something that's been scratched on the wall.
Look at that.
Give me that torch.
He's written something. A, C, I...
Acid.
What was that?
What's down there?
Well, I've no idea. Maybe you'd like to have a look.
Some other time. Time.
Buchan checks his watch.
It's 1 o'clock, Gunn. We're not that far from the castle.
Very good, Mr. Buchan. Very good.
What do you think? Maybe the flesh was burned off somehow.
Buchan imagines a man being burnt by acid.
I'll be damaged to the bones. Evidence of corrosion.
Maybe he was a big Hendrix fan. Came down here, you know, dropped a couple of tabs.
Why you, Mr. Buchan? Why choose you for this case? A case for which you show not even the most basic curiosity.
I must have pissed someone off.
Oh, I imagine you do that quite frequently.
Aye. Every chance I get.
He pops a cigarette in his mouth and lights it. Now, Clara's face smiles out from the photo wall in Buchan's flat. Buchan pours himself a whiskey, takes a sip, then sits back and closes his eyes. Then he looks at Jack Harvey's book.
According to local legend, St. Bernard's Well was named after St. Bernard of Clairvaux in the 12th century. Spurned by his fellow men, he went to live in a cave. He was sick, dying. But then birds came, led him to the spring, and saved his life. Over time, the spring became a popular resort. People flocked to take the waters. In 1788, the well was bought by a Lord Gardenston. He commissioned a building, a circular Roman temple. In the centre, a marble statue of Hygieia, the goddess of health.
Standing at the well, Buchan pulls a bottle of booze out of a bag.
I used to come here with Clara. It was our place.
In flashback, Buchan and Clara are sitting by the well in the sunshine. He holds her hand and traces the lines on her palm, making her laugh. Then they come together and share a tender, lingering kiss.
We got married. Everyone was there.
Jack Harvey raises his glass.
All our friends.
In the present, Buchan wraps his hand around the neck of the whiskey bottle. Standing on the steps leading up to the circular temple, he stares up at the classical statue of the goddess inside the pillars, then takes a hearty swig. As light dances on the flowing water, he remembers Murray shooting Jerry. Back in the flat, he's crashed out on the sofa with a fag still burning in the ashtray.
You move, Buchan.
He wakes up from a nightmare of Murray holding him at gunpoint. He starts rummaging for the phone in all the rubbish on the coffee table.
Buchan, what do you want?
And a very good morning to you too. I'm downstairs. I thought I'd pick you up.
Are we going somewhere?
We're meeting your friend, Professor Bell.
Just give me 5 minutes.
No problem.
Sinead.
What?
There's a bunch of people down there on the other side of the road.
Yeah?
What are they doing?
They're tourists. They're following a guy with an umbrella
and taking photographs. It's sort of a cultural thing.
Why are they looking at my flat?
They're not.
Well, they were.
Have you got any clothes on?
Not many.
That'll be it then. You'll be down as local exhibitionist.
As the tour party moves on, Buchan sees the old man he met on Calton Hill raising his hat to him. Now on a university campus.
He said to park near DHT. What's DHT?
David Hume Tower. Was a famous Scottish philosopher, an empiricist.
Sexy.
He said we only come to know things through our experience of the external world. He was like your archetypal Scottish rationalist.
Thought that was Sean Connery.
Very good.
I love rationalists. They're so fucked up.
Sinead was right. There was me spouting off about the great tradition of Scottish scientific rationalism. And at the same time, I was having these, bad dreams. There was a rational explanation, of course. The trouble was, the only rational explanation I could come up with for what was happening to me was that I was obviously going off my fucking nut.
Ah, Mr. Buchan! Miss Attractive Assistant. Come, I've had a wee dig. As you know, the buildings at Old College were originally built to house the university's Faculty of Medicine, home to some very famous teachers and alumni. Charles Darwin, James Young Simpson, Sir Joseph Lister, Joseph Black, Sophia Jex Blake.
Sophia?
Nice to see a woman in there, I always think.
You said something about Lister.
Sir Joseph Lister, Regius Professor of Clinical Surgery, 1869-1877. He pioneered the use of antiseptics in surgical operations.
Using?
Initially a solution of carbolic acid, I believe.
Acid?
Yes, but gradually developing and refining his techniques, of course, through research and, I dare say, a certain amount of trial and error.
In the past, a mask is placed over a patient's nose and mouth.
What about the idea that the body could have been one of the victims of the body snatchers?
Colourful. Possible. Doubtful. The anatomy tunnel was sealed up after the scandal came to light. I don't imagine they would have missed our friend here, given the circumstances. As far as I was aware, the tunnel had remained completely sealed up between then and now. But then, I found this. A little Googling, you know. Amazing what pops up.
An old newspaper headline reads, Tunnel of Death Reopened.
I must say this is all very exciting. We are hypothesizing murder, are we not?
Really too early to say.
I do guided tours sometimes, for my own amusement, really. A little foul play, It all helps to spice things up, you know.
We'll see what we can do.
According to the newspaper, the anatomy tunnel was reopened in 1877, following a landslide. Then the tunnel was bricked up again, but not before someone had dumped a body there. Someone who had access. Someone who knew about acid.
Anyway, cheery bye.
Forensics have come up with something on the skeleton.
That was quick.
I'm going to head back to the shop. Do you want a lift?
No. I'm going to leave you to it. I was ready for work, but not the shop. Everyone in the shop knew what had happened to Jerry.
Buchan follows Professor Bell through the cloisters of the old college. Then, across the street, he sees Jack Harvey giving Clara a kiss. Buchan crosses over to them.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
You
seem
funny.
No, nothing. I'm just waiting for it.
Well, I got the car down here, so...
Oh, but I thought we were going to get... Jim?
How you doing, Jim? Long time no see.
I got the book.
Did you read it?
No.
Maybe you should.
What's it got?
I love the title, though.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Well, stop it, both of you.
You know, we should get together properly sometime. Have lunch. I'll pay.
Jack leads Clara away by the hand, while Buchan remains perfectly still with his back to them. Later, Buchan climbs the steps of his tenement block, then arrives outside his red flat door. He drops his keys.
Shit.
He bangs his head.
Shit!
And finally, the wait is nearly over. With advanced sales already threatening to break all records, the latest Jack Hardy crime thriller is in the shops on Friday. St. Bernard's Well is the 13th book in this phenomenally successful series, and this time round, the publishers are keeping the storyline closely.
Jack was, what was the word? Ubiquitous. Everywhere you look, there was Jack. On TV, in the papers, on the buses, go for a shite, wipe your arse, and there he was, beaming up at you from a handful of Andrex. And there she was, like Lady Di. Little wonder she left me for him. I'd have left me. Maybe not for Jack Harvey, but there's no way I'd have put up with me for as long as she did.
He switches off the TV. As he turns away, he remembers the meeting with Bell, where the professor deliberately hid an old photograph of a group of men in a file. Later on, Buchan steps into the quiet old college and makes his way down a corridor, passing a window plaque which shows part of the word anatomical. A decomposed human jaw is perched on a stand. Buchan enters a large deserted display room, which has glass cabinets running along its length.
Professor.
He moves deeper into the room, passing skeletons on stands, and casually casting his eye over the artifacts on display.
Professor Bell.
At the far end, he finds a cluttered desk with an empty red leather chair. He looks back the way he came, then turns his attention to what's on the desk. Between piles of old books, a lit pipe emits wisps of smoke into the air. Buchan steps closer and sees a photocopy of a newspaper article with the headline, "Moving Road Plan for Old Tunnel." An open book catches his eye. It's The Hound of the Baskervilles, another adventure of Sherlock Holmes.
Buchan.
I've got the forensic report.
Tell me.
The cloth found on the victim's body dates from the late 1800s.
So it could be we're on the right track?
You said victim.
The skull's been smashed in. Massive damage. Have to be two, maybe three heavy blows from behind.
And we're definitely talking murder, then.
Looks like it. Professor Bell will be pleased.
Your move, Buchan.
Buchan? Buchan?
Buchan's now in the dark, damp anatomy tunnel. A bright light shines at the far end. Holding a torch, he peers at the skeleton, which has been mapped out with numbered cards. Half in shadow, he shines his torch around. In his mind's eye, he sees a man in old-fashioned dress scratching on the wall. The man is attacked from behind. Buchan fishes his watch out of his pocket and checks the time.
Past 11.
He's hearing things. He ducks under the crime tape and shines his torch into the pitch blackness of the tunnel beyond. Passing through an archway, he finds himself in a bare stone corridor where the bright light near the body can be seen at the far end. He bends over and rests his hands on his knees.
They're coming for you, Buchan.
Buchan panics and runs. He wakes up on his sofa at home. Instinctively, he starts rummaging through the rubbish on the coffee table until he sees that the phone is sitting in its cradle.
Buckin.
I found him.
Found who?
The guy in the tunnel.
Can you meet me? I'm on Young Street.
What are you doing there?
There's a pub I heard about.
That's my pub.
So get your ass over here then.
Sinead hangs up and steps into the Oxford bar.
Where'd you get these?
I went to the library.
Brains as well, eh?
As well as what? Brawn? Breasts? This is the matriculation roll for students studying pathology in 1877, the year the tunnel was last opened up. One of them was Henry Gibson.
What?
Henry Gibson?
The playwright.
What?
Norwegian, gloomy.
Gibson. Henry Gibson. And this is a list of graduating students 3 years later.
No Gibson.
Seems to have vanished into thin air.
Or ended up in a tunnel.
Precisely. What was that?
Very good. Congratulations. Good work. What do you want, a box of chocolates and a fucking book token?
She smiles and sips her drink.
It doesn't tell us about the acid, though.
I was thinking. At that time, late 19th century, there must have been all sorts of experiments going on, new techniques, new drugs.
Like Lister, carbolic acid.
But there must have been accidents. So what if there was a group of students doing their own work? Something happens, one of them dies.
Or seems to be dead.
They can't find a pulse. They panic. Their careers are stuffed before they've even begun.
So they hide the body.
Except he's not dead, not quite.
The writing on the wall.
But why acid?
Buchan sits back and sighs.
Fuck it, I'm going for a frag.
He steps out of the pub's back room, then goes to put some coins in the fag machine. On the wall beside him, an old photograph of a group of men catches his eye. Listed amongst them is one J. Bell. Curious, Buchan lifts down the frame.
Buchan, what are you doing?
Hey!
Buchan! Buchan!
Buchan goes to chase after Murray, but gets run over. Now, carrying the picture, Buchan's limping up his tenement stairs with Sinead.
Couldn't be the ground floor, could it?
We bought it for the view.
We should let them keep you in overnight.
No, I don't like hospitals. I had a friend who went in there. Well, a guy from the pub went in the hospital, came out in a box.
Scary.
Do you fancy a drink?
Okay.
There's an odd bins around the corner. All the hardbacks should do it.
He gives her some cash and she heads back down.
Christ. Shit. Doesn't matter who was driving the car. Murray set this up.
He pours out the whiskey.
You don't know this guy.
I've read The Fire. It's like War and Peace.
More like The Godfather.
Beyond Good and Evil.
Crime and Punishment.
Monkey Business.
It's a film. Doesn't count.
Why do you call him that anyway?
I forget.
Turning away, she takes a sip of her malt, then notices the photo collage on the wall.
This your wife?
Ex.
You're really over her, aren't you? Sorry, I can't believe I said that. I like the painting, she said, desperately trying to change the subject.
It was a wedding present.
Oops.
From Jack. Jack Harry.
The writer?
My best man.
I'm impressed.
We were at school together. He was smart. I was funny.
Perfect couple.
I joined the cops. He went to uni.
We used to meet up occasionally, you know, in the Oxford for a chat. And then he started writing, became less of a chat and more like research.
I hope you're on royalties.
It wasn't like that. We were pals.
But not anymore.
He shakes his head.
Not since he fucked off with my wife, no.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I'd imagine you would have heard about that. It's too good a story to pass up. Who told you Alan Ramsay, Jimmy Hogg?
I don't know. They kind of formed a queue.
Ha!
He's staring at her intensely.
I should go.
She meets his eye.
I'd offer you this settee, but I usually end up there myself.
She takes a last sip of whiskey, gives him the glass, then grabs her coat. He sees her to the door.
I liked Sinead. She was nice. And she was one good reason for staying well away.
You and everyone you care about, dead.
Give the kid a break, for Christ's sake.
Now alone, Buchan smokes a fag and takes a sip of his large malt. He sits back on the sofa and contemplates the painting of the waterfall that Jack gave him as a wedding present. It shows two small figures standing at the base of a rush of white. Curious about something, he picks up the photo he took from the Oxford and looks at the men behind the now shattered glass. Looking troubled, he rubs his face, then puts down his drink and picks up Jack's novel. He carries it over to the bookcase and slots it into an empty space. Then, with half his face scarred from the accident, he stares at the books and remembers kissing Clara down at St. Bernard's Well. A book illustration of two men grappling by a waterfall comes into his mind, and he crouches down by the case and runs his fingers over the spines. Finding the book he's after, he pulls it out. It's a Sherlock Holmes anthology. He carries it over to the sofa and settles down with a whiskey and a fag. He flicks through the pages until he comes to the illustration of the two men grappling by the waterfall. Underneath is the caption, "The Death of Sherlock Holmes." Buchan sits back, his troubled face half lit by the chinks of sunlight breaking through his closed shutters. Having an idea, he quickly starts flicking through the pages again.
Shit.
He puts the book in the light so he can read it better.
Shit! Shit! Oh, shit!
He starts frantically searching for his phone in the rubbish.
What do you want?
I've cracked it.
I thought the doctor told you to stay in bed.
No, listen. The whole acid thing, it's not acid at all. It's the name of her killer.
Gibson was a medical student in 1877, right? Guess who his teacher was?
Tell me.
Professor Bell. It's him. He's in the picture, Sinead. It's the same man. Joseph Bell, professor of medicine at Edinburgh University, 1876 to 1883. He virtually invented that whole area of forensic pathology.
You know you're not making any sense.
No, listen. Listen, there's more. In 1877, Bell picked out a promising young medical student, made him his clerk. Young man from a modest background, born in Picardy Place, where Jerry was shot.
Listen, Buchan, that crack on the head...
Father ended up
in the asylum. Arthur was the eldest, his siblings and his beloved mother on the edge of the poorhouse. He had so much to prove,
don't you see? So much to lose.
A, C, and then I. But what if it's not an I, Sinead? What if it's the downstroke for the D? Only Gibson didn't think it was deep enough, so he did it again. He was confused, remember? He was in pain.
Just hang on, I'm coming over.
Even in his
darkest hour, he was still able to name his killer, Sinead. Arthur Conan Doyle.
The old man from the hill is in Buchan's flat.
Sinead.
This chap Harvey, is he any good?
Buchan drops the phone.
I don't know, I've never read any.
Yet you get all his books, a complete set if I'm not mistaken.
Jack always sends me a copy.
But you never read them.
I've got better things to do with my time.
So I see. Forgive me, I'm Arthur Conan Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, actually, but you can call me Arthur. Calm yourself, Mr. Buchan. Time is short, and these visits cost me a great deal of effort. I'm an old man.
You're not old. You're dead.
The spirit lives on. I did tell them.
You killed that student, Gibson.
Oh, you think so? And what evidence? Oh, I hardly think that would stand up in a court of law, even by today's standards.
You killed Sherlock Holmes.
There you have me, but it's hardly the same thing. Holmes was fiction.
And Gibson?
History.
What happened to him?
He went to Venezuela, I believe, what you might call a gap year.
And he never came back?
The place must have its charms. But let us just say, for the sake of argument, that I did kill him. What exactly do you propose to do about it? Are you going to arrest me, perhaps? Find the report, the newspapers will be fascinated. Little tittle-tattle for the literary pages. Conan the Barbarian and all that. I wouldn't do that.
Hi, it's Sinead. Let me in.
Her voice comes from a tape.
Bad idea. You're not much of a detective, Mr. Buchan.
While the real Sinead is arriving outside, someone with a baseball bat is making their way up the stairs.
It's Sinead. Let me in.
This is going to hurt.
Buchan opens his flat door and is clubbed across the head by a man in a balaclava, who has long black hair just like Murray. The man takes Buchan's lighter out of his pocket, then steps into the living room. He holds the lighter under the painting. The fire takes hold, and flames lick up the canvas. Next, the intruder sets the photos of Clara alight. Her smiling face is consumed by the blaze. Buchan comes to, slumped against a wall, with someone standing next to him. Grimacing, he pulls himself up, then looks out over the sprawl of Edinburgh in the sunshine. His companion is Arthur Conan Doyle.
Do you know, in my day, I was the highest paid writer in the world. They paid me a fortune to bring Holmes back, an absolute fortune.
Well, you don't sound too cheery about it.
I always felt Holmes kept me from better things. I suppose it's what you call nowadays a love-hate relationship. I can't believe they banned smoking.
Tell me about it.
I have a theory, you know, about detective fiction, why it should be so popular. It happened during my lifetime. He died around then.
Who did?
God.
Okay.
And in a godless world, we're all faced with this basic question. Who done it?
No one. There was a big bang.
Balderdash. Look at it, Mr. Buchan. How can this be? These hills, this splendid city before us. These stories, don't you see? It's just the same story over and over again. Just as the detective seeks a solution to the mystery, so we too are in an existential quest for meaning. Who made me? Why am I here? How long have I got?
I get the feeling there's something you're not telling me.
Someone has tried to kill you. You know who it is? Your nemesis, your Moriarty.
Murray. I call him the monkey.
Hey, hey!
After the attack, Murray barges past Sinead at the tenement door. She hurries inside.
Are you absolutely certain that he is your man?
Buchan says something, but the sirens drown out his voice. The fire is now raging through the flat. Sinead arrives and drags Buchan's body out of the hallway. Clara's face looks out from a half-burnt photo. Then everything becomes lost in a blur of white-yellow flames. Now, the flat is coated in a thick layer of ash. Books lie half-burnt on the case, and a bare light bulb casts a glow over the mess. Buchan stands grim-faced, surveying the devastation.
Okay.
A fireman carries out some bin bags, leaving Buchan and Sinead alone.
Run again, that bastard.
I saw him. He was this close.
Don't get too close.
I can look after myself.
She has a sample of Murray's hair.
Let's get you to a hotel.
No, I'm staying.
You can't.
It's my home.
She looks at the partially burnt photos on the wall.
Needed to redecorate anyway.
I thought you were dead.
Do you miss me?
Might have.
Nice to be missed. Go home, Sinead. Lock the door. Brush your teeth and go to bed.
She gets out a bottle wrapped in an offie bag and offers it to him.
See you tomorrow.
As she leaves, he takes the bottle out of the bag and stares at it. Sunlight and trees are reflected on the outside of the bay window in Buchan's flat. Crashed out on the sofa, Buchan stirs listlessly in his sleep. Conan Doyle stands up and drapes his coat over him. He looks down at Buchan for a moment before picking up Jack's book off the coffee table and settling down in an armchair to read it. He turns a page, then looks at Buchan. Later, he sits reading while Buchan watches snooker on the telly.
Shall we go? Oh, he's left it over the jaws of the pocket.
Oh, I can still do it. What's that red and gets back down for the black?
Shh. I'm on the last page. He's played for the
black. Does he miss the black and get on the pink? He flicks the black. He's on it perfectly. This is all he needs.
Conan Doyle closes the book and gets out his hanky.
Oh, come on. You tell me he's good, not on top of everything else.
The dialogue is heavy at times, and sometimes the plotting's rather contrived, and yet...
Right, that does it. Come here.
No.
Well, maybe I should read one, see what all the fuss is about.
Not yet. Not quite yet, I think. What time is it anyway?
I've no idea.
What time is Newsnight usually?
I was watching that.
Conan Doyle turns over to Newsnight Review.
Jack Harvey is one of Britain's most successful novelists. His book's been translated into more than 30
You've
languages
got to be
and regularly
joking.
Attracts
Bear
millions
with me,
that
Mr.
Buchan. Millions. Set almost exclusively in Edinburgh, Harvey's novels combine a gritty social realism with a tender and detailed psychological portrait of his central character, the flawed detective hero, D.I. Buchan.
In the bathroom, Buchan knocks back a whiskey. The interview's taking place at St Bernard's Well.
Can we just clear up something at the outset? Your name's not Jack Harvey, is it?
No, it's a nom de plume. An affectation, perhaps. Call it what you will.
Mr Buchan?
I'm not coming out!
There's been a big fuss because you're letting nothing out about the plot lines at all, nothing out about the story. Is this just some kind of publicity gimmick?
You tell me.
Well, what can you tell me about it?
What would you like to know?
Well, the title for a star, St Bernard's Well. I mean, it's a real place, isn't it?
Buchan returns to the living room.
So it's romantic, the first kiss.
Sit.
Well, that would be telling, wouldn't it?
You famously name your characters after Scottish novelists. Burns, Scott, Stevenson.
Well, that's me, just another literature graduate showing off.
But are you conscious of working within a literary tradition?
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you're writing about Edinburgh. The place is reeking with history.
You've often talked about the influence of Robert Louis Stevenson.
Yes, of course. Jekyll and Hyde is the quintessential Scottish myth. It tells you everything you need to know about the Scottish psyche.
The Scottish male psyche.
You've obviously not seen my wife at the Jenner's sale.
Wanker.
Now, your hero, your character...
And then there's Arthur Conan Doyle, not always thought of as a Scottish writer, but born, brought up in Edinburgh. He went on to more or less invent the detective genre with Sherlock Holmes. He pretty much established the ground rules. The arch-enemy, the faithful sidekick. We're all just playing variations on the theme.
Well said, Sam. Where's the remote?
Your hero, D.I. Buchan. I mean, people say that he does display many of the kind of clichés associated with detective fiction. You know, the heavy drinking, the smoking, the insubordination, the failed marriage.
I prefer to think of those as literary tropes, generic conventions.
But what about the autobiographical elements? I mean, you know, he shares your love of the same drink, books, rock music.
He is just a character, but yeah, I've had this guy in my head for 15 years now. There's obviously a certain amount that rubs off.
I'm not getting this.
The Jimmy Stewart.
She was wondering about the autobiographical element. They always ask that.
You talked about Arthur Conan Doyle. Of course, he famously tried to kill off Sherlock Holmes.
That's right, at the Reichenbach Falls.
And there are rumours that you've got a similar fate in mind for D.I. Buchan, that actually what you want to do with this book is get rid of him.
You'll just have to read it, won't you?
But are you not getting tired of him? I mean, it's been, as you say, 15 years.
I don't know. Maybe he's tired of me.
Is that a clue?
No.
But, I mean, do you think there's anything else to wring out of this character?
I'm not going to get anything away, Kirsty.
Jack Harvey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Buchan sits, thinking.
I don't get it.
Take your time.
We were pals. You used me. Like you used Bell for Holmes. I thought writers were supposed to make it up. Jack didn't even bother changing the name.
That's not quite it, I'm afraid.
What then?
Now I think perhaps it is time you read this.
He holds up the fire-damaged book, and Buchan takes it.
I'll lead you to it.
He gets up and leaves Buchan sitting alone on the sofa. After pondering for a moment, Buchan opens the novel.
To Clara. He's got this dream about buying some land. He's going to give up the booze and the one-night stands, and then I'll settle down in a quiet little town and forget about everything. Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street. Chapter 1, Down the Rabbit Hole. Buchan lay sprawled on the couch, dead to the world ever since Jerry died. He'd been having dreams. Bad dreams.
Shit. Having fetched his coat and hat, Conan Doyle comes back.
I don't exist.
Not per se. Well, you are a character, and a very well-known one by millions of readers. You're a bit of a national monument, did you know?
No.
having a bit of a hard time taking this in.
I do sympathize.
So he's killing me off. Like you killed Holmes.
I suspect Mr. Harvey is trying his hand at what the critics would refer to as the literary novel.
How long have I got?
Not long.
Weeks? Months?
The book's due out on Friday. That's, today.
But I remember everything. My mum. Fish fucking fingers. Every record on that shelf, I can tell you when and where I bought it.
It's him. These are all his memories.
And Clara. I remember Clara.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Bucker. You had a good innings.
It all feels so real. Everything. Even now, right now, am I supposed to just stop?
Goodbye, Mr. Buchan.
He puts on his hat, picks up his umbrella, then leaves. The beer light bulb goes out. Buchan closes his eyes as he struggles to take it all in. In the pale blue light of his destroyed flat, he sits back on the sofa and remembers. Jack's book, the rush of water at the well, Clara's eye, and Murray shooting Jerry.
Ah!
Clara comes to him in a dream.
I've been such a fool. Will you ever forgive me?
She kisses him. She kisses Jack. Now Jack's sitting in the armchair.
It must be hard when you come home at night to, you know, switch off. How do you deal with that?
Your move, Buchan.
Jack laughs as he sits with his pencil poised. Images flash through Buchan's mind, including Sinead in a towel robe.
Come on, Buchan. Come on, Buchan.
Your move, Buchan.
News footage of crime on the streets flashes by. As Sinead snuggles up to Buchan and they prepare to kiss. Then, Buchan's about to kiss the skeleton in the tunnel.
Examine the evidence, Mr. Buchan.
Massive damage to the skull and ribcage, as if the victim had fallen from a great height. And here, you see? Signs of water penetration. We have a body. We have a crime. A murder, even. There is a mystery to be unravelled. And are you the man to do it, Mr. Buchan? Look closely. Look very closely.
Your move, Buchan.
Are you the man?
Are you the man?
Buchan wakes up on the sofa in a cold sweat. Then he turns and sees Murray sitting next to him, pointing a gun at his head.
Your move, Buchan.
Just as he's shot, Buchan wakes up again.
Buchan.
It's me.
He's here. I've got him.
What? The monkey. Buchan, I can see him.
Where are you?
I'm heading onto Leith Walk towards
Carlton Hill.
Sinead, listen to me. Listen, don't get too close. Sinead. Sinead!
Now, Buchan puts his hand up to stop the traffic as he tears across a road. Still running, he gets out his phone.
Hi, Sinead. Please leave a message.
Call me.
Soon after, he arrives at the spot on Calton Hill where he first met Conan Doyle and where Jack's book launch is now taking place.
Oh, thank God, where are you?
Very close.
Murray's nearby.
Where's Sinead?
She can't come to the phone right now. She's a bit tied up. Come and get her while she's hot.
What are you doing here?
Why? What do you know?
Clara looks nervous.
What's happening today?
Tell me, is it about Sinead?
Get ready for launch in 2 minutes. Yeah, he's inside.
All ready for the big bang. Yeah, just wait for me. I'll find a bar. Okay, bye. Bye.
Buchan disappears through a black door. Inside a building, a deserted room's been set up for the book launch's reception.
Sinead?
Buchan steps slowly forward.
Sinead!
A gun appears at his head, and holding it is Jack Harvey.
Glad you could make it, Jim.
And maybe you could keep your paws off my wife, eh?
Where is he?
How the hell would I know?
You're Sinead. You're a dead man.
Look who's talking.
Sinead comes out from behind a pillar.
It was you all along, wasn't it? The body in the tunnel. The whole acid thing. It was a setup. The whole thing was a setup.
A plot. A story. Keep him hooked. Reel him in. And here we are again, Jim. Just you and me.
What do you mean, again?
You still don't get it, do you?
Jack lowers the gun and whispers in Buchan's ear.
Your move.
Buchan.
You're him.
I'm everyone. I'm everything. I give, and I take away.
Sinead!
Jack shot Sinead without even looking at her.
Hang on, just hang on, okay?
Bye, Buchan. Be good.
Her head lolls to the side, and her hand falls from his.
Why? Why are you doing this?
Showbiz. Gotta go out with a bang.
Call the police. Somebody call the police!
I'm the police!
As someone who doesn't exist, that's quite a punch you got there.
You didn't think I'd go out quietly, did you? That'd be kind of out of character.
Buchan swings a punch, but Jack fights back. The two men wrestle beside a display of books, while Clara and another woman look on in horror. Jack smacks Buchan in the face with one of his own books, then pins him to the ground.
Stop it! Jack, stop it! He's had enough! Stop it!
Back on their feet, Jack gets Buchan in a half Nelson, but Buchan manages to lift him up and throw him into the display. Suddenly, they're back in Buchan's flat, and Jack has become Murray. Now they're fighting in a tower high up on Colton Hill.
You and me, Buchan, eh? Holmes and Murray, Jekyll and Hyde. It's in all of us. Once in a while, you just have to let it
out! Murray suddenly looks troubled.
I've used this already. Final chapter of Blood Rock!
Buchan headbutts him, then the fight continues in the Oxford bar.
I don't know, it just doesn't feel quite right. What do you think?
Murray throws Buchan about, then Buchan lands in the middle of a road somewhere in town. Murray holds him up, then, gripping him by the throat, he holds him over a high bridge.
Not the Reich in my form. And the War of Leith is kind of tiddly, but that has a certain bathos, don't you think?
Buchan goes to swing a punch, but Murray fells him with a blow to the stomach, then he lifts him up.
Bye, Buchan. See you in the next life. Taking you with me.
Buchan dangles over the edge, attached to Murray by the same wristband he cut off at the beginning.
You move, asshole.
Buchan looks down at the water, hundreds of feet below.
The monkey screamed as his shoulder dislocated. The arm jerked from its socket by Buchan's weight. 13 stone something. Buchan had always meant to lose weight. Now he thanked God for every extra pound.
Buchan pulls Murray over the edge, and their blurred bodies are frozen mid-fall.
Gravity. Buchan had once had a fight with his best friend about gravity. Whether two bodies fell at the same speed if one of them weighed 10 stone 3 and the other one 3 stone 10. Buchan still didn't know the answer. He never knew the answer. And by the time he hit the ground, he'd forgotten what the question was in the first place.
At the book launch...
Yeah. Enjoyed this last one.
Did you? So,
yeah, enjoyed this last one. I did refuse that.
Clara picks up a copy of the novel from the table, then peels away from the other guests. She stops by a window, then opens the book near the end.
It wasn't the fall that killed him, of course. It was the landing. Fragile flesh and bone hitting solid Edinburgh granite at 42 feet per second per second. No contest, really. Buchan's body washed downstream, finally coming to rest near St. Bernard's Well. A couple of students found the body. They'd gone there to make love. But what they found was death.
Buchan's body lies half washed up on the bank, his wet hair matted with blood from a head injury. Standing watching between the pillars of the well, Conan Doyle takes off his tweed hat and holds it to his chest as a mark of respect. At the launch, Clara closes the book, then loses herself in a memory. She remembers Buchan crying as he looked at her pictures on the wall.
Goodbye, Buchan.
Finally returning to the present, she looks over her shoulder at Jack, who's chatting to Ian Rankin by the book table. Jack catches her eye, and she smiles, then turns away. 1 year later. Jack's tapping away on his computer.
Jack!
1 minute.
I've got to go to bed.
Okay.
How's it gone?
Yeah, good. I'll be 5 minutes, okay?
5 actual minutes or 5 Jack minutes?
5 actual minutes. It's the agent. She's on LA time.
I'll leave you to it.
Jack Harvey?
Jack, hi. So, I've got them up to 2 million, but I still think we can get 3 and a TV deal.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
Or if they don't bite, we can always find a new publisher.
Or I can find a new agent.
I'll get back to you.
He returns to his work, unaware that Conan Doyle is standing over his shoulder.
You are a cad, sir.
Don't you give me that.
You planned this whole escapade simply to bump up your advance.
Show business, Arthur. Anyway, you started it.
Me? What?
Sherlock Holmes. How much did the Americans pay you to bring him back?
How dare you?
Okay, then. Tell me. Exactly how did Holmes survive the Reichenbach Falls? Come on. I'd love to know. You know, just writer to writer.
Levitation.
Bollocks.
I suppose I did rather miss him, despite everything.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Now, are you going to piss off and let me get on with this?
Conan Doyle vanishes into thin air, and Jack gets back to work.
Chapter 1. The city of Edinburgh was famous for many things. Its architecture, for example, was a model of classical elegance, form, and proportion. For the last couple of years, however, the Athens of the North had enjoyed another, less savory reputation. A reputation for political infighting, financial and sexual scandals, and corruption. Councillor Muriel Spark was going to change all that. Standing for election as an independent, she had captured the imagination of the press and the public. A former cleaning lady with a reputation for plain talking and a spotless political record, she was going to clean up the city.
At a political reception, Murray steps forward and shoots Muriel Spark. A mascot in a bunny costume gives chase as Murray flees the building. Murray runs off through a park, and the bunny keeps up the chase until he's tackled to the ground by uniformed police officers. As his mask is removed, Sinead looks down with a smile.
Stupid bastard! Fuck off!
Buchan.
Detective Sergeant Burns.
Detective Inspector to you.
Congratulations.
Buchan stands up.
I thought you were dead.
Tell me about it. How are you doing?
I'm tip top.
Me too. Did you want to get these goons off me? So we can get after that fucking monkey.
Buchan runs off with Sinead and the officers in tow. An aerial view looking over the Edinburgh skyline, then the opening credits of a TV cop show. Buchan, starring Alec Newman. Alistair McKenzie as Jack, Nina Sozania as Sinead, Laura Fraser as Clara, John Sessions as Professor Bell, Richard Wilson as Arthur Conan Doyle, and featuring The Monkey.